Hi, my name's Tim Johnston, and I'm a prospective candidate for the seat of Aaron Michael in September's general election.
Why are you standing?
I'm standing because I think it's important that there is a strong voice in Tynwald for the rural economy, rural matters. I'm president of the Manx National Farmers Union at the moment, and a farmer, and I think it's really important that, issues that are affecting agriculture, but to say also the wider rural economy, are represented.
So you mentioned there the wider rural economy. What does that involve?
Well, I think politics in the Isle of Man can often be very Douglas-centric, I think, and it can sort of suck the life out of the rest of the island. So I think it's important that there's someone there who understands there's lots of rural businesses out there, lots of small businesses that working outside Douglas, and I think it's important that there's a voice for them. I think one of the biggest issues that comes through is sort of connectivity, a feeling that people outside Douglas are always listened to. I think especially in a constituency like Aaron Michael, it's very isolated. And I think things like broadband connectivity, state of the roads, etc., are really important to people. And I think it's important there's someone there who's asking those difficult questions they need asking.
So you mentioned that you are president of the Manx National Farmers Union. You've not stood in an election before. So just give us a little bit about your background.
Okay. Well, as I say, I've been farming for, well, lived in Aaron Michael for sort of 35 years, working and living. And started with a dairy farm, a small dairy farm, built up over 20 years. And now, probably the last 15 years, I've been working within the union, lots of different roles within that, and in the last 2 years, taking on the presidency. So I think it's really important that we've been there to sort of represent our members, fight the corner of agriculture, a lot of lobbying with government, arguing with government sometimes, working with government. So I think I've got quite a lot of experience there that I hope I can bring to the wider table.
So looking at the next 5 years then, what are the main concerns within Aaron Michael?
Well, I think looking ahead for Aaron Michael, again, more and more people working from home. I think with the green debate, climate change, more smart technology required. So I think it's important that we see proper connectivity, as I mentioned that word again, making sure that there's good broadband. Very frustrating, we found within the farming industry over lockdown, using more Zoom meetings, that how difficult it is with broadband. And I think that's something that's a real basic that needs sorting. And yeah, I just think generally a feeling that government is working for everybody on the island. And I think there's a general feeling on the doorstep when I talk to people, what the big issues for them, access to healthcare, making sure that we get on top of the post-COVID issues, whether it's waiting lists and healthcare. Again, big one, the roads. And also issues like road tax. I think that's come up quite a lot on the doorstep. People living in rural areas, and this is not just Aaron Michael, I think this is across the whole island, a car is often a lifeline, it's not a luxury. And I think it's important that when we're looking ahead that we develop policies that are fair, and if we are going to go through a transition period through that change to looking at more electric vehicles, that we accept that these things are expensive and for the average family, prohibitive at the moment. And we need to make sure that we have fair policies in place that manage through that transition, that don't hit people in the pocket, basically.
You mentioned in your statement announcing that you were standing as well about affordable housing issues. Is that something that particularly in your constituency is a big concern?
It's certainly come up a great deal, actually. But again, I don't think it's just Aaron Michael. I think it's across the whole island. And I think, actually, it's probably one of the biggest issues that's been mentioned. If we're wanting to have a future economy and we're wanting young people to be involved in that, which is absolutely vital, we need to have places for them to live. And a lot of people, elderly people, worried about their children, grandchildren, where they're going to live. So it's something that I think we, as an island, we have to tackle as a matter of urgency, really. And there's no easy answer to it. There's no easy answer. But when you talk to people, for example, newly qualified police officers or firefighters whose salary means that they don't qualify for the first-time buyer scheme, then there's something obviously wrong. So we need to look at that scheme. But at the same time, we can't just look at the scheme. We've also got to look at the stock of housing available. because obviously if we just make the scheme more favourable, the danger is we actually drive up house prices. So it's really important that we look at all measures, whether it's, as I say, stock of homes, looking at the first-time buyer side, but also ask questions about who's developing the land and whether actually there's too much power within a small group of developers, and that's really adding a lot of cost to the cost of land. And I think that's something that needs again looking at and discussing. And these are the sort of questions that need asking, I think, in Tynwald.
Would you welcome housing development in Aaron Michael then? Would you welcome, say, first-time buyer properties up north?
I think so, yeah. I mean, we're going through the area plan at the moment, and obviously we've just had a census, so that's going to get us a better feel of where we are. But certainly, again, the conversations I'm having in the area, in the villages, is there's a real concern, for example, that we're seeing lower reception numbers coming into our local schools. And that tells you that, you know, perhaps there are issues with the demographics, and we need to make sure that we've got those properties available for younger people. So yeah, I think that's something we do need to look at and make sure that there are those affordable homes in rural areas.
You talked about some of the concerns within Aaron Michael also being issues across the island. What for you are the national priorities for the next 5 years?
I think, again, having conversations with people, there's a general feeling that the economy, the fundamentals of the economy are quite sound. But at the same time, there's a concern that there's a level of, I think, sloppiness in government and complacency. And I think, and it's very easy spending other people's money. And I think we all see that whole concern when any time a new project, a new capital project is sort of talked about and timescales are given. I think sadly we're all in that position where we automatically in our head sort of triple the time and triple the price, and that's not good enough. And I think, you know, that needs looking at. So I think government needs to, what the role of government is to make sure that it's setting out a level playing field for business to thrive. Post Brexit, making sure that we're looking at removing red tape wherever we can, making sure that we're creating that playing field that where business can do well, and business needs confidence, and I think government needs to give that by setting out clear, integrated plans for the future, so that everybody understands the direction we're going in. So I think that's key, because I think the economy, it's to me front and centre, and it links into everything. So whether it's education, making sure that we're getting the right training for our young people, right opportunities and apprenticeships, and what government can do to improve that, whether it's looking at healthcare and how we need to improve and help get on top of waiting lists. So you know, those sort of issues are really important. And I said we've talked about affordable housing. How do we get young people to come, attract them back to the island? Because without young people, without them in the system, we can't pay for all the services we need. So to me, integration is really important, and I think where government have lacked in the past is having a very comprehensive, detailed plan that the ministers sign up to, that they take back to their departments, and make sure that runs through government.
We touched on Brexit there, particularly from a farmers' union point of view. I imagine that's something you've had a lot to deal with in the last couple of years. Has that post-Brexit impact been given high enough priority by the current government?
I think from my experience working with DEFA, that they're, yes, I mean, I think they have been very much involved at all stages. They've been kept informed of the issues. So, unfortunately, we didn't have a say, and the government didn't either. But obviously, they've at least been given room to sort of discuss and put their viewpoints in. So yeah, I think they've done what they can. Yeah.
What's your assessment of the current government overall over the last 5 years?
Well, as I say, I think if you look at some of the basic fundamentals, whether it's levels of unemployment, our overall deficits or our structure, then I think the economy, compared to lots of places, lots of countries, is in quite good health. But we do, you know, we do have our challenges. So I don't think, you know, it'd be churlish not to recognise that. They've obviously had a major curveball thrown at them, like we all have through COVID, and the issues that's brought in. And I think they've done overall a very good job. There's no rule book to what's happened. I think they've made mistakes along the way, of course they have, but I think overall they've done a good job. But going back to the idea of having a comprehensive plan for the island, I mean, I recognise and support the latest KPMG plan for having short-term, medium strategy and planning. But I would ask, well, why is that coming in at the end of the administration? Why isn't that there at the start? Because when you set a plan out, you always have to build in resilience. There's always going to be issues that come in from the side that knock you off course. Now, obviously, none of us expected something as massive as COVID to come along. But, you know, government always has to think about these things and have plans in place. And I think if you do that, and I think if you communicate that well to the public and people understand what you're trying to achieve, then I think then you start to build a lot more confidence in what government does.
Now, you are standing in a constituency where two MHKs that currently serve there, they're both ministers, they have both announced that they're standing again. Mm. What is your take on how they've represented Aaron Michael in the last 5 years?
Well, I think, again, conversations I'm having with people is a feeling that having two ministers inevitably means they don't have a great deal of time for the constituency. And certainly one of the reasons I'm putting myself forward is to stand as a proper local constituency MHK who will be there to listen to their issues, someone they can pick the phone up to, shout at, whatever they want to do, but make sure you're actually there and accountable. And I think that's one of the advantages of having at least one member who can do that. And I'm certainly, if elected, going into the Keys, I would not be looking to or seeking any ministerial position within that five-year period. I would really be about knuckling down, learning, listening, getting involved in government, but be there for the constituents. And I think that's really important. I think that's what the people of Aaron Michael are looking for, someone who they can speak to and relate to.
So would you take on a government political role, or would you want to serve as a true backbencher?
I think I would be happy to be involved in government to a certain extent, because I think that's important to understand and learn what government's all about. And I think you're going in there at the start, obviously, you have to learn and understand what's happening. And I think being involved does that. But I don't think there's any need for me to take that further into a ministerial position. If I was fortunate enough to be elected and serve five-year term and re-elected, then I would look at it then. But that is not something I would be looking to do in this future administration.
Now, you're not the first member of the Manx National Farmers Union to come forward for Keys. Of course, Howard Quayle came from that background. Mm. Comparisons will be drawn there. Mm. Do you see that as a sort of a direct succession, or are you very much a sort of a separate entity?
I see it as looking ahead to the new administration, making sure that there's somebody in the Keys who understands the rural economy and rural issues, and farming is part of that. Mr. Quayle, yes, has been a farmer. So that's the driving side for me, is making sure that there's someone there who represents. I think the great thing about having mainly independent MHKs is the ability to bring a broad range of views to the Keys, and that's really important. So it's relevant and important that there's someone there who is fighting for rural issues. And as far as agricultural is concerned, I think sometimes when you look at it on paper, sort of 1.5 of GDP doesn't sound a great deal, but it's actually worth about £75 million to the Manx economy. So over 800 people working in agriculture, and we're managing over 75% of the landscape. And I think through COVID, people have really appreciated getting out, the well-being, and I think mental health of getting out and about, and really appreciating what we've got. And looking ahead, I think people are understanding the importance more and more of local food, of sustainability, and farming is really there as well to put forward, I think, sensible policies on climate change, reducing carbon and green energy. So I think it's got an important part to play in the economy and in the island in the future. And as someone who's lived and worked in farming for many years, I think that's that's really important. But no, it's bigger than that. It's the national issues as well. But that is certainly something I'm happy to be a voice for.
You've touched on climate change quite a bit, and electric vehicles and carbon emissions. That has been a topic that's been on the agenda a lot recently. Where do you stand on things like the target for net zero carbon emissions? Has government been strong enough on this, or do they need to try and do more sooner?
I support the current target, the 2050 target. If we can do things sooner, that's great. But I don't think we should be pushing ourselves into a corner by trying to do it sooner if it's not the right thing. I think it's important for the island, for its international reputation, to make sure that we are seen and signing up to the latest agreements, and that's what we're doing. But there are no prizes for coming first in this. What we need to do is make the changes that are right for us, our economy and our island, because although there are, I think, great opportunities ahead with green energy and the green debate, there's also a lot of transition and change needed. And what we don't want to do is do short-term or medium long-term damage to our economy. So I support it. I think there's lots of opportunity, obviously a lot of challenges, but I think it's right that we are signed up to our international obligations, but we do it at what's the right pace for us. And again, I think I come back to what agriculture can do in that. In the UK, over the last 15 to 20 years, we've seen a lot of initiatives in farming areas with green energy. Unfortunately, those initiatives haven't been available to agriculture on the Isle of Man because there haven't been the funding there to do it. So I would hope that what the government does is look at those sensible, low-hanging fruits really to start with, to make sure we're starting on that path and do the right thing, because we all know that there's a huge amount of cost also involved in a lot of these changes. And I think I also call on government to make sure that they set an example as well. And one area which again we see within the agriculture industry is local procurement. And I think the government, for example, could be doing a lot more to use local food in provisions for schools and hospitals, rather than buying the cheapest they can get from elsewhere. The argument is always put up, well, it's more expensive, and well, it may well be more expensive, but actually, it's very short-sighted, because a pound spent in the local economy is worth nearly £2 in circulation. And actually, what we need to do is start looking at these things in a different way, in a more long-term sustainable way.
What are your thoughts on the recent announcements by the G7 on the 0/10 tax impact for us here and the 15% corporation tax? Does the Isle of Man need to be taking things like that very seriously?
It does. I think, you know, when something like a global movement is taking place, then the Isle of Man, of course, needs to be very aware of what's happening and make sure that we're doing what we can to face that challenge. I don't think we should be panicking about it. I think, as often these things can take quite a long time to work out. I think as an island, we've always had that feeling of, well, if that goes, that's going to be a problem for us. If that changes, that's going to be a problem for us. That's always been the case, and I think always will be the case for a low tax jurisdiction like the Isle of Man. So, yes, we need to keep a close eye on it, but we also then need to think and work, well, what are the consequences and what we can do to change, to be fleet of foot, I think, is the thing with that, and look for the potential new opportunities it may bring as well. So
just finally, if someone does give you their vote, what are they getting?
I think what I'm trying to say to the people there, Michael, is that what I want to do is stand as someone who will have a strong voice for the issues of that constituency, but also all rural constituencies. I'm putting myself forward as a strong local MHK, someone who can then pick the phone up to and with a problem, and I want to make sure I'm there for them. And I think that's the fundamental basics requirements of an MHK. And then make sure that I'm taking those concerns, those issues, and putting those questions to Tynwald and doing my part to take the island forward.